Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Do you know the difference between foods labeled organic and foods labeled all natural? You might be surprised. Learn more at stonyfield.com. We're proud to be the leading organic yogurt maker and honored to support living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman.
Oil from a sunken rig in the Gulf of Mexico has now reached the Louisiana coastline.
Well, BP says that its containment cap system is making some real progress.
The concern is if the oil flowing into the Gulf isn't stopped, it could push all the way over to Florida.
The BP debacle dumped 200 million gallons of crude into the Gulf of Mexico. Today, 2 years on, we look back on the disaster and try to assess the environmental impact so far. In July 2010, we sent Living on Earth reporter Jeff Young to survey the mess. Oil was still gushing into the Gulf when Jeff set out on a boat about 10 miles from the mouth of the Mississippi with National Wildlife Federation biologist Doug Inkley. Jeff spotted an oil slick on the sea.
Okay, but as nasty as this has got to be better than it was.
Well, certainly the situation I'm looking at on the surface appears to be better than it was from what I saw 2 months ago. It is more degraded. I'm not seeing as much of it, but I'm also not looking underwater. I'm very anxious to see the reports and the science that comes back from NOAA and other government agencies that is trying to look at this underwater. I wish you would come back and talk to me in 5 years, and I could say, I was wrong. I hope I'm wrong about the impacts, but I don't think I am.
Inkley thinks the impact will be big and broad, and he says it's time to start thinking the same way about recovery, large scale and long term.
The ultimate solution to this BP oil spill is to do long-term restoration. You really can't clean the oil up, as we've seen, because it's still floating out here in the Gulf. You really can't clean it up once it's spilled. If you go into the wetlands, you do more harm than good by tromping around in there or using other means to try to get it out of there. Recognizing that we can't go in and clean the oil out of the wetlands, let's put into place a large program to begin to restore some of these wetland areas.
That was Doug Inkley with the National Wildlife Federation in 2010. Well, we decided to check back with Doug earlier than he suggested to see how the Gulf and wildlife are doing now, 2 years after the disaster.
Oil is still there. As a matter of fact, oil was oozing out of the marshes as we stepped in it. So there's no question that the oil is still there. The big concern I have right now is that we are seeing evidence from independent scientific studies and a little bit of information released from the federal government's natural resources damage assessment. But most of the information that we need to have about the impacts is being held undercover. It's not being released. It's considered confidential because of the litigation which is in process.
Well, we do know that certain species have been dramatically affected. I'm thinking of the dolphins in the Gulf. But since the disaster, there have been over 600 stranded dolphins along the coast. And usually there's just about 75 a year.
That's right. The dolphin strandings are way, way above historic levels. As a matter of fact, the number of months that we have had above average dolphin strandings is now 26. That's 2.5 times longer than ever before, with 4 times as many dolphins killed. The dolphins are an indicator species because they're at the top of the food chain. In the studies that were released from dolphins in the most heavily oiled areas in Barataria Bay, they're finding that these dolphins are sick. They have anemia. They have signs of liver disease. They have low blood sugar. Their immune systems appear to be compromised. This is not a good sign.
What about things like zooplankton? The stuff that's at the bottom of the food chain is hazardous to ingest.
Well, it may well be, because what they did find was they found residual signs of the oil in the zooplankton and phytoplankton, zooplankton being small animals, phytoplankton being small plants, both of them plankton. And so they're finding this in them, and they are at the very base of the food chain. If you go further up the food chain into the killifish, which is a small fish that lives in the marshes along the coast, they have found very strong evidence of physiological changes in these killifish. And then look at the dolphins that eat the fish. We have a problem with them as well. So there is evidence, what little available at the present time, that unfortunately our predictions of just a year or two ago when the oil spill occurred are coming true. I'm not really surprised, because if you look at the Exxon Valdez spill 23 years ago, Pacific herring population still has not recovered. So the Gulf oil spill is not over. We're going to be living with it for quite some time.
Well, when our reporter Jeff Young spoke with you in July 2010, the gusher still hadn't been capped, and you were worried about the wetlands back then. What about the long-term restoration of the wetlands, and what's the condition of the wetlands right now?
Well, we are still seeing oil in the wetlands. We know that we have had additional loss of wetlands because they're toxic to these wetlands. Some areas simply cannot be cleaned up. What we really need to do here to recover from this Gulf Coast oil spill, from this disaster, is to do long-term restoration of the wetlands in the Gulf. Unfortunately, the oil spill is the latest of many assaults that man has inflicted on the Gulf of Mexico's wetlands. And we have lost a tremendous amount of them, including some 2,000 square miles of wetlands already. Imagine, that's an area 200 miles long by 10 miles wide of Gulf Coast wetlands that have already been lost. And this accelerated it.
Well, is there any bright sign from this grim news? Is it any species or a plant that's doing well?
A bright side on this, that's a tough one to really come up with a good answer for you, Bruce, because there are so many things that still need to be done as a result of this oil spill that have not yet been done. We haven't dedicated the fines to restoration of the Gulf. We haven't strengthened the regulations to regulate oil and gas development in the Gulf. In fact, it continues now with no improvement in them since the accident occurred. And the wildlife have been affected, and we do not yet have a comprehensive Gulf Coast restoration program in place. So it's hard for me to be very pleased with the progress that has been made since the spill began just 2 years ago. We still have a lot of work to do. We need to get these things done.
Doug Inkley is senior wildlife biologist with the National Wildlife Federation. To prevent oil drilling disasters in the future, President Obama created the National Oil Spill Commission. Heading up the independent commission were William Riley, chief of the EPA under President George H. Bush, and Bob Graham, former U.S. Senator and ex-governor of Florida. Their first assessment, a year after the spill, was a searing evaluation of BP, the oil industry, and the government's response. Now they've issued a new report card, and the co-chairmen are feeling a bit more charitable. But only a bit. We start with former EPA Administrator William Riley.
We gave industry a C+, and frankly would have given them a higher grade, but for the fact that there have been three spills, one in China, one in Brazil, one in the North Sea, within the past year, with major companies involved. And other than that, they've done a great deal to respond to the recommendations we made.
So, Senator, if there was a Macondo BP oil disaster that happened today, would they be able to respond, industry?
Grade is incomplete. The industry has set up two entities which are responsible for containing and cleaning up a future event like Macondo. It appears as if those are very solid and will be effective, but they've never been tested.
Mr. Riley, you were the administrator of the EPA. How would you grade the EPA?
Well, the EPA was responsible for a task force that convened with respect to the ecological circumstances of the Gulf, and the fines and penalties, which are likely to be very considerable, levied against BP, are dedicated, as we recommended in the commission, 80% to ecological restoration. Until we actually see those resources and see them dedicated in the way we proposed, then it's a little hard to say how that will come out. But the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson led that group and shares with us the conviction that that's where the money ought to go rather than into the federal treasury, which ordinarily it would go. The government, also particularly the Interior Department, has just reformed itself. A lot of new hires, much better leadership, better quality of engineers, more formation and training and so forth, and a lot of new regulations that we think make sense and look like they do respond to the recommendations we made and the findings that we concluded.
So the administration gets what grade?
We gave the administration a B.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Congress that doles out the money and it makes the regulations. How have you rated Congress?
This is Senator Bob Graham. Congress has done some good things. One is the passage in the Senate of the legislation that would allocate 80% of the fines to restoration of the Gulf. The House has not yet taken that legislation up. And second, the Congress has appropriated significantly more resources to the Department of Interior to carry out its safety responsibilities. But beyond that, the Congress has done virtually nothing to implement the recommendations that we made. So in answer to your question, we gave Congress a D.
A D. In terms of a new oil drilling in the Gulf, do you feel comfortable that there won't be an accident on the scale of the BP disaster?
No, I don't believe anybody can give you an insurance policy that there won't be a spill. What we can say is that the chances of such an event are lower, and there's been no drilling within state waters of Florida, nor in the federal waters which are adjacent. And this goes back many years. Now, where there is drilling is off the coast of Cuba. For the first time, Cuba is drilling in its offshore waters. The drill sites are very close to the Gulf Stream, which means that if there were to be an accident, the oil would go immediately into the Gulf Stream and be swept north along the eastern seaboard of the United States. That's a legitimate concern.
Is there anything technological, managerial, legislative, social, cultural that would prevent the continuation of deep drilling in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, and it's the loss of public confidence that it can be done safely and without endangering the environment and the coastal areas. So I think that there is a merger of interest of those who are anxious to increase or maintain U.S. offshore oil and gas production, and those who are interested in safety and ability to respond to an accident. Both elements are going to be necessary to maintain public confidence in this very important activity, which today is providing in excess of 30% of the oil and gas raised throughout the United States.
This is William Riley. I think that's important, but that it's got to be done with greater rigor, greater care than it has been historically. There was a transition that occurred from shallow water to deep water, which significantly raised the risk and complexity. In our view, the industry and government together did not adequately adapt to these higher risks with better systems of safety and a somewhat transformed culture. We believe that now there is evidence over the last couple of years, at least, that is changing. That is a change much to be desired. One hopes that it will be more effective as a result.
Mr. Riley, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And Senator Graham, thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Former Florida Senator Bob Graham and former EPA Administrator William Riley co-chaired the National Oil Spill Commission.